This whole month is telling the story about the birth of Christ. This whole month we want to back up, and I want to give you a history lesson. But not just a history lesson. I want it to be current events, and I want it to be future. For you see, in Christ, there is no such thing as past, present, and future. God is eternal. You and I are eternal beings. Well, now, I know that gets confusing for us. But the Scripture, does it not tell me that I was in the mind of God before time exists? Yes, it does. Now, if I was in the mind of God before time exists, then did I not exist in the spiritual realm with Christ, with God? I don't understand why all of the human parts and all of this has to go along with it, but I do know this. There's never been a point of time when God did not know me, to know when I would be born on planet Earth and when I'll leave planet Earth. God knows. I call that love. I call that concern because, you know, because of man's inhumanity, not only to man, but to God. God had to come as a babe in a manger, as a human being, to pay for our sin debt. We're lost in sin, slaves to sin. And God sent His Son to pay for us. We've been bought by the blood of the Lamb, paid for by the precious blood of Christ. And He said, I've done this because I love you. Now, when you say that's pretty strong love, people can say I love you all they want. How many people are ready to die for you? I've seen those who would take a bullet for me. You have too. I never met one who really wanted to. But you see, that's called a human existence. Jesus came to experience your hurt, my hurt, your pain, my pain. And that gives me hope. That's what hope's about. Promise of today, hope for tomorrow. That's who Christ is. The prophets proclaim that the King is coming. Jesus, the King of the New Covenant. Did you know that mankind has always broken every covenant they ever made with God? Did you know that? Man's a mess, isn't he? The human race. Have broken every covenant. Oh God, I promise. Oh God, I promise. You'll see that throughout Old and New Testament. Oh God, I promise. But then they don't keep their promise. Did you know that Jesus never made a promise He didn't keep? Did you know when He said He'd go to the cross for us, He went? I have hope. And what Christ has done. I have hope of eternal life through what Christ has promised me. And the prophets proclaimed it. The King's coming. The King, yep, the real one. The King. The King. The King is coming. And I'm here to proclaim to you, He came. He looked. He felt and He died so that you and I would never ever have to see death. He conquered it. He conquered the grave. He did it all for me, didn't He? Therefore, how can man brag? For everything that you and I have is a direct gift from Almighty God. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke that covenant. Though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Man, what hope! Well, you see, you and I are living that hope. This was a proclamation of the prophets concerning the church age, the age in which you're living. The hope is here. The hope is within us. Man cannot stop the Holy Spirit from convicting your heart. Man cannot stop the Holy Spirit from bringing peace to a troubled soul. Man cannot stop it because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, Jesus says, "I got you, Larry. I got you. Now let's go through this life. Let me show you peace right in the middle of all of the brokenness. Let me show it to you." Jesus would be the cornerstone of the Christian life. I heard questions being asked on TV and news. Isn't there, or is there, another way to get to heaven other than Jesus Christ? And I never heard the like of answers. Oh, those who do good, those who give so much, those who act this way and those who act that way. They don't need to know Jesus to get to heaven. Folks, that's a lie straight from the pits of hell. Either you accept Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, or you will never see the kingdom of God. That's a fact. It's not on what you do, it's on what Jesus did. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea to die. He was born for a purpose. To die. He came to earth to die for you and for me and for all who would believe. That's why he came. That's his purpose. And he looks at us individually and says, "You're my purpose. You're my purpose. You're the very one that I came to die for. I will fulfill my Christmas gift to you. Merry Christmas." And he stretched out his arms and died for me. Now, that, I don't know, there is no other Christmas present that is that great. There's no greater gift that can be given to the human race than the gift of ultimate love. Unrestricted love. God loves me even though I am the way that I am. I know you all love me, but you know, you got to work at it a lot of times. On different areas. It's hard work to love another human being, isn't it? Have you ever noticed that most human beings don't do what you don't think they ought to be doing? You don't have to be married either. They just don't act the way you think they ought to act. Do you think that we act the way that we ought to act in the presence of God? Do you know He loves us anyway? Yep, Lord, that's Larry Pete. I watched him as a snotty-nosed kid when he was born, growing up on Buffalo Hill in Buffalo, Kentucky. Yep, that's him. I love him despite himself. I just love him. See, that's the hope I have. My future, my present, focuses around the hope that the prophets talked about. They didn't get to see it. They prophesied. They preached it. They all wanted to see it. You and I got to be a part of the first Christmas. Jesus Christ. I see hope in Him. Jesus would be the cornerstone of the Christian life. Listen to 1 Peter 2 verses 6 through 8. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, the stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. My salvation is based on a message and the messenger who gave it. I love you. Will you believe in me? The message received. And I said, yes, I believe in you, Lord. And you will go through a whole lifetime trying to love God back just as much, but you will fall short. God's love for me is not based on my love for Him. It isn't. It's based on His love for me. Well, I love you, Larry. But not only that, there can't anybody bring a railing accusation against you. You know what else he'll say? Not even you are allowed to do that. But Lord, I can condemn myself. No, you can't. How can you condemn what I've made holy? What are you saying to me then? That my blood is worth nothing to you? Is it in something more than my blood? It isn't. That's a false religion. I don't deal in religion. I deal in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in a relationship with Christ, there is hope. The prophets painted a very gruesome physical picture of the person of Jesus. Now, you and I see Jesus as a baby in a manger. All babies are so cute. And then we jokingly say, then they grow up. They become teenagers. Then they grow up. And then they grow up. Then they grow up. Then they become children again. And teenagers again. You know, what a cycle. Have you ever noticed that? So God looks straight into our heart. And He says, you're going to live the human existence. You know why that you and I have to live the human existence? Because unless we are born of the water and the blood, we cannot go to heaven. If I'm not a human being, I can't be in heaven as a perfect child of God. Only human beings get that stamp of approval. You have to be a human being. And human beings are always humans becoming. Closer step, closer walk. So when we become a human being, the offer is given to us. Do you believe that Jesus was such a pretty baby? Can you picture listening to everybody? But then the prophet said, this is what's going to happen. Isaiah 53, verses 2 and 3. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty that would to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we would desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. What Jesus went through and the suffering for you and me was so ugly that people could not stand to look upon him. He had been beaten so bad that he wasn't recognized as a human being. But here he was, still living, breathing on a cross. Wonder around him. All heaven was shaking. All hell was applauding. For they thought that they had won. Lucifer was now in control. But there was a problem. Jesus was born to die for you and me. Satan just didn't realize that Jesus was going to conquer death and the grave in the process. It wasn't over. It was just beginning. Man could not look upon his body. Now I want you to picture this. That's how ugly our sin is to God. Man would see the ugliness of their own sin on that cross. And all the heavenly hosts looked on, for they saw the beauty of it. It was in our ugliness that God brought out our greatest beauty, Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas. What a gift. As they would look on the cross to see the ugliness of sin and the beating of our Christ, you were there. Did you know that? For one of those stripes on his body represented you, your name. You were on his heart. You were on his mind. See, Santa Claus has nothing on a list compared to Jesus. Jesus has a list of eternity. He knows my name. You know what's great about that too? He'll never forget it. He's not going to forget me. No. Even if I forget him, even if my mind leaves me, and I cannot think upon his presence, he knows me. That's hope. Psalm 69, verses 7 and 8. For I endure scorn for your sake, and shame covers my face. You can insert your shame. Your shame covers his face. I am a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my own mother's sons. His own brothers rejected him. His own family rejected him. They thought he was out of his mind. You and I were on his mind. The world thinks he's out of his mind, and we are too. If we believe that God, a deity, is really going to keep us as human beings on his mind, I don't think it. I know it. I'm on his mind. There's not a time that I'm not on his mind. And you know what he wants for me? What's best. And what's best for me hurts a lot. But it's what's best. And God will look at our lives and say, I want you to know, I love you and I will protect you. The prophet said that Jesus would protect his children like a shepherd protects his sheep. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Mamas, you're blessed. For those who would harm a mama or disrupt the family, you're in big time trouble with God. For I want you to know, and I want you to know for certain, you mess with a child of God, you've messed with God, and when you do that, you have signed your own fate. God will not hold you guiltless. He will charge you, and he will find you guilty, because he watches over our children. Now let me read this to you. It's an important statement. The second coming of Jesus Christ is the greatest single theme in Scripture. Now you hear me? We're celebrating the first coming, but we're waiting for the King to come. Again, we're going right through it again. But the second coming of Jesus Christ is the greatest single theme throughout the Scripture. While there are approximately 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that foretold the first coming of Christ, there are more than 8 times as many verses describing his second coming. In total, some 2,400 verses throughout the Old Testament and New Testament reveals God's promise about the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus came that first Christmas morn. He came that first Christmas morn to save us, to give us the greatest of Christmas gifts, to begin Christmas. And he started it off right, didn't he? God sends his only begotten Son, born in a manger, born to die for you and me. And he says, when my Son dies for you, I give you permission to live for me. Would you die for Christ? Let me tell you something. If you won't live for Jesus, you're not going to die for him either. We live in the greatest nation that's ever been known, the United States of America. What a gift from God. What a gift from God. And yet in our own nation that owes so much to our Savior, 50% have turned their back on God. A nation that is split. Well, let me tell you something. I'm on Jesus' side. You got me? Huh? I'm going with Jesus' army. Now, you all want to play around, you go ahead. I'm not going to play around. I read the book. I know how it ends. I know what's going on in the middle. And I can tell you this. Those who do not accept Christ, you have chosen the wrong God. But I'm here also to let you know you don't have to. Jesus loves you just like you are. I mean, good gracious, how much more we want? Well, I mean, Lord, I'll clean myself up and I'll get to church. I don't care where you are. You can be in a parking lot. You can be in the middle of a field. I don't care where you are. When the Holy Spirit touches your life and says, do you believe, my friend, answer that call. And when you say, yes, I believe, it's not where you are. It's who is inviting you that matters. He says, I love you. That's what Christmas is about, love, isn't it? Isn't it about peace and understanding? And I'm not talking about understanding each other. Brother Randy does not understand me, nor do I understand him. I mean, you know, you never know what's going on inside these brains. But Jesus knows us. And because Jesus knows us, he made us best friends. But he still won't do anything I ask him to. It is the point that God says, Randy, you listen to what I tell you to do. Larry, you listen to what I tell you to do. And I will give you peace. See, that's the love I'm talking about. Well, Brother Randy, that's just like I am, isn't it? That's a whole theme for next year. Brother Larry comes out of his suit all year to preach. That's the theme, just as I am next year. Because that's exactly what Christ has called me to do. Come just like you are. I want you to enjoy Christmas, he says. I give you my Son. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your name and thank you for Jesus. You're always giving to us, Father. Help us to give to others. Help us to share the truth of salvation that only you can and will give us. Give us direction, dear Heavenly Father, within the heart that you've called us to give. As we do so, Father, help us to give a little bit of our heart to our fellow man. And in so doing, we will fulfill your mission of giving and joy to the world. We ask your blessing now upon the balance of this service, that you will be with our children, that they might understand as they decorate your house, they're glorifying your name. Touch their lives. Touch the lives of all the adults, all of the listening audience. Father, let your will be done, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.